Blog Talk Radio.
On deck, 5 minutes, three black moon on deck was good, chilling.
Check this out, man. Richie Rich in the house, West Coast. Shout out to Dipo Radio.
My name is Fat Sean. For those who don't know, I want to shout out Dipo Radio.
I'm known as the legendary Cocaine.
This is Down by Law, X-Clan. Get up with the mainstream outlaw. Brother Jay, big up to all the clan and the powers, and big up to Dipo Radio.
Shout out to Dipo Radio. The kid, Young Mouth, Dragon Gang, bang, bang.
Yeah. Big Hutch, a.k.a. Cool 187. Dipo Radio, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, yo, what's up, yo? This is Tyra Smith. I'm cool with my man Dyer. Holding it down, Dipo Radio.
Yo, what's rocking?
Dipo Radio.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroys information. And religions destroy spirituality. That's where we are.
Go church your ass all the way to hell, nigga. Deliver us from evil.
Amen. All I want for Christmas is a big booty whore, a Maybach coupe and a PlayStation 4. Praise the Lord. I'm playing the Temptations, Motown, Apollo Brown, a D conversation. Not a nomination, not a Mason, not a abomination, not Osama Satan, not healthcare.gov. I don't got a lot of patience, my inauguration, not a hibernation. I'm sovereign, Moorish, a one-man nation. So many bitches, I should share them. But homie, you a bender, the eunuch in a harem. King Solomon's mind, Father Time. Yes, you would turn water to wine. So I'm drunk enough to turn your average daughter to a dimer. Beverly Hills Messiah, plastic surgeon, Delilah. New pitch, bad witch, just a trick Samson. In the barber chair, but still strong. Where's my handgun? Every second precious, but the Terminator's catcher. Plug us in the matrix, turn our brains into ketchup. The matrix walks the cloud, Terminators is the drones. Humans or genetically modified clones. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. The British world's really German. Family named the Battenbergs. About as royal as Duck Dynasty in Johannesburg. They ask me if I'm Muslim cause I don't eat swine. Nah, let's call it kosher, my original culture. Crime what Hitler did to Jews by the Rhine. But two wrongs don't make it right when you occupy Palestine. Hit white Christians' mission, assisting the end time. Go flip their wigs when Jesus the cast a good time. Black skin, big lips, hair full of dreads. Probably got his music bumping while he can't hear our friends. Pac wondered if heaven got a ghetto. Marlon Brando tweeted, heaven is the ghetto. A lot of poor East Asians, niggas and Latinos. Heaven is Highland Park in Puerto Rico. And if you hate our color, brother, I should let you know. There's another place down below where you can go. Every second precious, but the Terminator's catcher. Plug us in the matrix, turn our brains into ketchup. The matrix walks the cloud, Terminators is the drones. Humans or genetically modified clones. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Dipo Radio, man. What a beautiful night we have. I welcome everybody here on this beautiful night here in California and everybody joining us on the East Coast and around the world. I got our special guest already in the host. You guys been seeing the post and everybody's excited, starting to line up. Speech, Arrested Development, What's happening with you, homie? Thank you so much for taking the time to, you know, catch some dialogue from you.
It's all good, baby. You know, thanks for having me on, man. This is real cool. It's real good. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. Now, like I said, I was super excited about this because one of the things we try to do here on Die For Radio really is kind of talk about, you know, the substance that kind of put not just hip-hop together but just music in general. You know, and hip-hop is one of the blessed genres of music that can take any genre of music and make it unique. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't do a lot of research about music anymore. So you're a prime example of really what we try to do on these airways.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, I definitely appreciate that. I believe in that, like, wholeheartedly, you know, the whole idea of, number one, just appreciating where things come from and trying to understand the history and importance of things, but also, you know, the power of hip-hop music in its greatest form is just like you said, you know what I'm saying, it's taking the music and doing something with it creative that makes it new again and exciting and vibrant. So, you know, I appreciate that. It's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how do you think you found, you know, and I'll just base it on you personally right now since I have you on the line, but, you know, how do you say your uniqueness on what you did? I mean, really, where did you get those influences? And again, I have to say, you know, we're from an era, and I say this all the time on the show, but were you actually were successful by being yourself and being unique and actually letting the people know who you were even though you never met them in your life? So where did you really find kind of your uniqueness in what you do?
Well, you know, I thank God for that because, I mean, there's a lot of things that make that up. I feel one is I'm from Milwaukee originally. In Milwaukee, from a music standpoint, I started off as a DJ, and I used to play stuff from D.C. with, you know, Go-Go and, you know, Trouble Funk and all of this type of stuff, and then house music from Chicago and, of course, hip-hop from New York and the style of hip-hop that was in L.A., which at the time, back in the 80s and stuff, was more like faster beat per minute, you know, 120 beat per minute hip hop, like Egyptian Lover and World Class Record Crew, which was Dr. Dre's first, you know, amalgamation of hip hop. And then, you know, that type of stuff. So I guess my point is that I was rocking everything. I wasn't really just an East Coast type of guy. I wasn't just a West Coast or whatever. I like music from all the different coasts and all the different things people was offering. Stuff from Germany like Kraftwerk, you know what I'm saying? And it's like all of that stuff made sense to me. So I think from a musical standpoint, I was open-minded. You know, I think that that's one of the biggest attributes to, I don't know, feeling like all of this stuff is great music.
You know, and that's the point, you know, the last word you said is music. And I believe that's kind of where some of it has fell off. I mean, there's some very creative folks out there, too, you know, that still do their thing. But technology's got so much better that you don't necessarily have to know how to play music to do music, I guess you could say. But, you know, chord progressions and music development. I'm doing an article right now about artist development just in general and how there's a lot of that lacking. As you came up, you know, how much did really learning the key to artist development, you know, add to your success as a musician?
Well, I mean, coming up for me personally, you know, I grew up in the hip-hop era where, you know, I started off like a DJ. So, you know, I never learned how to play an instrument per se, but I studied music thoroughly. You know, I listened to the song structures of music constantly. My dad had a nightclub and he used to get promotional copies of music, and back in the day it used to be a vinyl record with a hole punched in the corner of it, and now when you say it's a promotional copy, and, you know, I used to get all of this music from all genres and just thoroughly become a fan of the art, you know what I mean? And like I said, it'd be different genres. I liked rock music, you know, I loved listening to Kiss and Queen and all of that type of stuff, but I also, of course, love funk music and, like, Confunction and Ray Parker Jr., Radio, and all of these various grooves that they would do. But, of course, when hip-hop came about, it was sort of borrowing all of that stuff and creating different things with it. So just studying music in general has always been a great thing for me. And as I've gotten older as an artist, I even do that more now, where I'm very much intertwined with live music. So, like with Arrested Development and even with my solo projects and the things that I produce, I've been able to have the blessings of, like, getting into live music, how chord progressions work, how it makes you feel, why it works, things of that nature. You know, I've had a chance of working with Herbie Hancock on stage and Chaka Khan and Jack DeJohnette, you know, a lot of people that, you know, just incredible musicians. So I learn a lot from all of these people. And, of course, even the musicians in Arrested Development are really, really talented people. So just constantly being a sponge, you know what I mean? Really trying to understand music better so you can understand how to better wield it for good and making people feel certain things. You know, I think that that's important as a musician.
No, I agree. I agree completely. And knowing the facts and learning from other people, I mean, that's a huge part in music. I mean, because who doesn't do music and say, you know, even me growing up with the Rakim or, you know, you guys and stuff like that. I mean, who you always take a part of something of music you really love. And if you're a musician,
no doubt about it.
You know, with a musician, of course you're going to add that to what you do. That's what influenced you to do it, you know.
Exactly.
And I think that's a key part. To kind of go on, though, just a little bit, what's been new with yourself and you guys lately? I know we got some new tracks. It's 2014. It's a crazy world out there in music land. What's new with you, my friend?
Well, it's a lot. It's an exciting time for me, and yet, you know, the industry, you know, it's in a dire place, and a lot of problems have come up in the industry really clearly, that artists aren't getting paid as much as they deserve, that, you know, music has gotten so consolidated in a corporate way as far as what's being played out there that not a lot of diverse music is getting through the airwaves. So, again, I appreciate what y'all are doing. And with that problem comes, as always, an opportunity. You know, the Japanese would say the word problem also means opportunity, because when you have those deep, deep problems, it forces us to come up with new solutions. And so for me personally, one of the things that I've been working on is how to get artists, musicians, creative people like ourselves, an opportunity to expose our music the way that we deserve to get it exposed, but still monetize that in a great way too. So I'm working on something that's, at this very second, it's a little secret, but I'll give a hint. It's called U42, and it's a software product that I'm working on really hard right now that I want to reveal to the world probably in the next 2 to 3 months. It is the biggest music play that I've ever seen for artists, and it changes the way we'll be able to monetize for the creative things that we do. And it would allow the whole world to get involved in it. So it's a really cool piece of technology that I've been working with a huge team of people on. So that's one of the things I've been doing. And, of course, music in general, just on a personal level, I'm producing one of the members of Arrested Development. His name is One Love. And it's this music is really, really great. And it's cool because it's hip-hop. It's live. It's all live music, all band-oriented. And we're rehearsing for days in a row, and then we go into the studio like they used to in the Motown days or in the days when it was 4 tracks and 8 tracks, where they had to really rehearse the song, get to know the song, then go in the studio and cut it. And so we're doing it that style for a very specific reason, and as a producer of this project, I'm doing that, and I'm really proud of it. Then, of course, Arrested Development's been in the studio working with K.O. Case, which is one of the top producers in hip-hop history. He's done a lot of stuff with T.I. and, you know, Jay-Z and R. Kelly and Lil' Kim and Snoop and a lot of other people, and very talented brother from Alabama. We've been doing some stuff with him, and I sent you a few cuts from this upcoming project called Splash. So I'm excited about a lot of things right now.
Absolutely, and that's great. You know, I love what you brought up too, how you rehearse a song and then co-cut it, because, you know, obviously back then, you know, there wasn't the digital, oh, okay, I'll just erase that real quick and go back. But I still somewhat do that, and I've recorded, you know, to where I have had to, you know, on ADAT, and you really had to just go in there and do your thing. But to this day, I still, you know, even with the digital era, I'll go in and record, right when I write it, and then I'll listen to it and rehearse it for 2 to 3 days, and then really go in and mic myself up and, you know, do the whole thing. But I still do this. I think I know people that can read off their phones and still do it, but you really can't do the song unless you can just close your eyes and just spit it out. You know where you need to take your breath. You know where you need to pause and do this and do that. And you really feel it once you really know the song.
I agree. You know, I found that with Arrested Development, a lot of our material that we've done in over the last 10 years has been, it's like we record it to record and then we get on tour with it and it goes to another level because we've been touring it and we're used to performing the material now. So it's like you said, it's the equivalent of being able to close your eyes and just feel the song instead of read the song or, you know, perform the song from a notebook or whatever, or from a phone or whatever. So I agree that there's something special about a song when you're able to own it instead of just – so like you said, I might do – because I grew up that way too. I used to record songs to a tape deck, you know what I'm saying? And I used
to have
two tape decks.
The same thing, of course, yes.
And overdub and all of that stuff and just learn the song. And then we did our first album that way, 3 years, 5 months, 2 days in the life of, and albums after that. We did the same thing. We would record it to – cassette decks at first and just try to get the general ideas out, and then we start to rehearse it and get it tighter. By the time we did it in the studio, we had basically knew this song back and forth, you know, and we were able to own it in a different way.
Yeah. Now, especially over time, and not to say you did anything wrong, but have you ever heard something personally and said, damn, I should have said it like this, or, you know, my tone should have been like this once you got to know the song that well after touring and everything?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. You know,
I did the same thing, but I was just curious because I know it happens. We're our own worst critic, though, no matter what.
Without a doubt. And, you know, the cool thing about technology now is that it's just like with our phones. You know, we get a phone and we get an app today. But in 10 days, if the app company decides to do an up, that same app is on your phone, but they update that same app, you know. There's going to be a point in our near future where we're going to be able to do that with songs that it's never really done. So we could keep tweaking the song even though it's been quote-unquote released.
That's interesting. You know what?
Oh,
I've never...
definitely.
Ooh.
Definitely, man.
Okay.
This is our future,
okay,
bro.
I see that.
I mean,
so, you know, if you log on
a
certain... It might be a different mix than what you heard the day before.
Exactly right. I mean, that's what... I mean, with Arrested Development's first album, we did a song called Natural. And we initially, when I produced that record, I recorded it and mixed it at a college studio that I was going to school at. And it was cool, and the engineer was awesome, but it just wasn't that professional mix that I had come to love as the group had gotten more established. So I went back in the studio, re-recorded it, remixed it, and by the time we did our second pressing, because our first album sold 5 million albums, well, by the time we did our second pressing, we released it again. I switched it up, and I also put on, you know, People Every Day Metamorphosis mix, which ended up blowing up. So, I mean, things like that was happening even back in the 90s, but now it's way different to where you can update it in real time. And, yeah, if you do a different mix, you throw it up there the next day. You know, things are going to change drastically, baby.
You know, you best believe that because it already has. So, you know what? What I'm going to do real quick, I'm going to go to Out to the World, and I know there's the video out there on YouTube that people can see as well, but I definitely want them to hear the track. Tell them a little bit about the song.
Well, you know, lately I've been vibing a lot on music from Africa, music from Europe, because it's been inspiring me a lot, the imagery, the vibe of the music, the colorfulness of the music, and I've been sort of tired of where we've been doing things in America has been a little, in hip-hop at least to me, it's we've sort of stayed in a certain spot and not allowed it to grow. So this song right here is talking about the power of travel and how it changes your perception and how a lot of us are stuck in the ghetto of our mind, you know what I'm saying? And so we don't understand that our lives have so much potential and that this world has so many different scenes, so many different colors and textures that we can get involved in that can take us to new levels in our life. And so the song's called Out to the World because this song is sort of sending that energy out to everybody, like, yo, get out there, travel this planet, see what's out here in this world, find a way to get out there. I meet people all the time that don't have any money, don't have any income, but just decide to take a trip, and they pull it off because the will is there. And so whether they're backpacking it and going from one hospice to a hotel to this person's house or whatever they got to do, but they're living their life and they're not allowing anything to keep them chained up in their mind and in their realities. They're getting out there and becoming the person that they need to be. That's what this song is sort of talking about. It's like, you know, how people sometimes can even commit suicide because they feel like there's nothing else for them in this life. This song is telling you, man, there's so much out there for you. Let me hope to paint a picture and give you some dreams. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, out to the world.
That's a beautiful thing. And real quick, we can go to the song, but my brother-in-law out here, I live out in L.A., he does, he's a screenwriter and does movies and does a lot of short films for, like, Sundance and stuff. And we just recently filmed one out here in Santa Barbara on farmland, a bunch of greenhouses. You know, they have their own private beach and this and that. And it's a community of people that actually travel the world. There's all these different kind of farms. They live there for free, eat for free, grow their own food, and basically travel the world through these establishments that they have there and live off of each other, like real talk. And they, I mean,
no doubt, no, definitely.
Like 50 of them, but they're all over the world. I mean, there's some in Czech, there's some in Costa Rica, there's some in, you know, Spain, obviously Europe, you know, South America, and they all travel back and forth with each other by making their own money with each other around the world. It's amazing.
Dude, well, send me a link on that because I think I'll be taking a trip with them real soon.
I'll definitely do that. But let's go to this track. We got callers on the line, obviously. Want to catch up with everything we're doing. But right now, out to the world on Dafoe Radio. I got my man Speech in the house, Arrested Development. This is the way we do it. Come on.
Love is in the air tonight.
Out to the world.
They take it outside of the school because the budget ain't enough. Only reason I travel the world is cause music affords me such. How many young teens is getting bullied by a bully? Think they own life because they don't know they own life fully. Living out of suitcase, filling up my duffel bag. 3-star hotels with 5-star bubble baths. 6-star experiences, 7-star buddy lab. 8-star memories and 10-star wife and band. It seems simple how a Christian can live life as well. My wife has got the hottest body this side of hell. Those that ain't travel think they hood is they world. Trayvon was shot by a guy who thought of hood was the world. Come on.
Love is in the air tonight.
Oh,
Humphrey, my sheet up.
Radio, man, I'm in here vibing in the studio, feeling that track for real. I got Speech, Rest Development House. You know what's so great about that track, though, honestly, and I salute you. We're in such a fragile time, not just music, like with the way social media and everything is, because everything's like right there in front of your face. Such a fragile time. So anytime you can make a positive track, make people feel good. And it's right in front of your face because it will be. I mean, it's so appropriate for this day and time right now.
Word, thank you. You know, I've always felt like, you know, Arrested Development, we never really lost that relevancy. I've always felt that way. You know, I felt like our music from Tennessee to that one, if you listen to it for a moment, if you just allow yourself to be open-minded about it, you it's still relevant. I mean, the stuff we're talking about, it's not like we're trapped in the 80s or 90s, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're still saying things that we feel like are very real for anyone right now, you know, living, you know, with what we're going through in Ferguson right now. You know, we're talking about Trayvon Martin because Ferguson hadn't happened yet, but, you know, it's just real things that people should be able to relate to if they open their mind to it, you know?
They do, and, you know, but even, you know, music back in the day, even if it was about, you know, something negative. I mean, I always felt like my favorite artists, I knew them. You know, that's what I have a problem with today, is the song might be somewhat tight, but I don't feel like I know that artist.
Right.
That's kind of a problem.
Oh, I totally agree.
Because
yeah,
I want to research. When I know, like, I feel like I know the artist, I want to see what's new. I want to see what he's doing, whether it's bad or good. I mean, you know, with the media, of course, you're always now going to see, you always have, but again, with the, you know, internet and everything that we have, you're always going to see the bad first.
Right, yeah.
But again, with you guys, I felt like I knew you. So I knew when you did a song, no matter what style it was, I knew who you guys were. So I even related to something different.
Right, exactly. You can get with it. I know exactly what you're saying, yeah. And I feel you on that. I think right now, this is how I feel. I think that people are so, and especially in hip-hop lately, and not everybody, but a lot of the mainstream stuff that's getting the most of the play, it's so the artist is so concerned with getting on and becoming, you know, rich and huge that the art and the vulnerability of what they're talking about is less of a concern for them right now, and it's more a concern of, you know, making sure we get on and making sure that this – you know, they more so have a business plan instead of a creative plan. And that's what I see a lot right now in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm going to get to, because we got some callers, but I got to ask one more question. I mean, and then we're going to go on to somewhat new things. But what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned? And it can even involve, you know, what we've already talked about, technology being what it is today. But throughout, you know, because the music industry is a grueling business. A lot of people don't see, you know, they see the glamour and the cameras and stuff. But, you know, what's some of the biggest lessons you learned in this game, personally?
Well, bro, it's been a lot. I mean, one is that if you have the opportunity to own your music and own your masters and publishing, do that. Because one of the big lessons I learned with having hit songs over the years is that I don't own some of the biggest classics of Arrested Development outright. EMI owns a lot of that. And so I can't, like, for instance, my label Vagabond just released a greatest hits record for Arrested Development. It's got all of our hits on it from all the years that we've been doing this. And a lot of that earlier stuff, I myself, even though I wrote it and produced it, have to pay money to EMI in order to put it on a record to sell it to you. So,
oh wow.
You know, it's a crazy deal when you have to pay money in order to get your own record out to people. I myself can't put it on this show or that show without their permission, even though I wrote and produced the track without you know, without them creatively being involved in that process. So, I mean, I would say own the stuff. That's one lesson that I would say. And one of the big plays that I'm doing with technology right now, if you own your stuff, you'll be able to join what we're doing in a huge way. And so I just want to encourage artists, look out for what I'm doing, U42, but also try to own your material. And then the second thing I would say is that, you know, there's a cost for being original. There's a cost for being true to yourself. If you know that up front, then it won't slap you in the face when it happens, and you can go ahead and enjoy life regardless of that cost. And so what I mean by that is, if you're truly doing art, you know, and you feel like, yo, this is my calling, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, when you're doing art, there's ups and downs to it. We've had Grammys, we've won MTV Awards, we've won, you know, we've had millions of dollars, and at the same time, there's been times when we've been really down, and, you know, we had to try to determine how we're going to get through. Well, both of those times is part of this journey if you're trying to be an original artist and if you're striving to really do you. You know how a lot of people say do you. Well, it's like that cost. So
oh,
I just want to, you know, encourage people that that's part of this journey, and that if you know that, then when those tough times come, it doesn't freak you out. It's like, and it won't make you sell out. And I'm not even talking about positive music, negative music. I'm just saying whatever you is, then understand that there's a cost to doing that. And if you get it, then you're willing to pay that cost, and you'll continue to press on.
Well, and I think that's the huge part of this kind of vicious cycle we have with the music nowadays is that people don't see that part and they're not willing to take that risk because the last single that just dropped on Tuesday, you know, blew up. It doesn't have the longevity as classics like you guys have and stuff like that. But for that point, they actually did make some money. So that next single I'm going to drop after him is going to sound like that. You know, because guess
exactly.
what? That's going to give me a little bit of money right now, and I can, you know, figure out after that. But then because they don't have any artist development, they blow all their money, and then they're just trying to do the next single to sound like that next single. And you're almost like on a treadmill, you know, because money
exactly
isn't
right.
everything with music to me. I mean, everybody
it's
wants
not.
To make money. Don't get it wrong. But I still want to do the music I want to do.
Without a doubt. And you know, it's obvious that we all need money, you know, for various things, but it's like when that is your only motivation, you're already starting off on a bad foot. You know what I'm saying? It's like the motivation has got to be something way deeper than that. And so, yeah, you know.
I agree. Let me hit these call lines real quick. I got either a Skype caller or a, you know, internet caller, but it's a 111. You heard unmute. We live on Die4 Radio with the man himself, Speech, Arrested Development. What's happening with you?
Man, what's goody, man? It's your boy, Sneak Rosky. How everybody feeling tonight?
Good, baby. Real good.
What's up, man? Good,
you, homie?
Good. Man, just soaking in, man. The game that y'all dropping, man. Good to have the legend on the phone. And good
Yo,
to hear the show still going strong.
Thanks.
Most death, man. Yeah, I'm just tuning in, man. I don't have no questions. I'm just checking out the format, man. It's soaking up the game, you know.
Absolutely. We appreciate you as always tuning in, man. And you know, someone like Speech. I mean, it's just the knowledge. You know, I unfortunately I have to ask questions. You know what I'm saying? I could sit back and just listen to him talk and just soak it up, just like you doing. So we really appreciate you tuning in for real.
So, fam, I'm in the cut.
That's what's up. So, you know, to go on kind of what he said, kind of soaking up game and everything, while everybody's on the lines listening like that, we have, you know, new music. Obviously, we got that. We got the Essentials, right? Rest Development Essentials?
Yeah, that's the joint I was just talking about where I had to pay money in order to get certain songs on that, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of the double-edged sword with the digital now, though, is that people can, you know, make music at home and, you know, put it out there and pay for Twitter followers and this and that, but at the same time, they can somewhat own their own music.
Yeah, they can, which is a good thing, you know. If you can own your own music, there's going to be a big world for you coming up soon. And keep hold to that. Don't sell it. you know, to some label just in order to get a quick buck. Wait, hold on to that. It's a big deal. You know, like with this music play that I'm doing right now, this technology play, you know, we're talking to legacy people out there. And one of the things that we're learning is that, you know, whether it be James Brown or Isaac Hayes, there's a lot of songs that are tied up with labels years after these people have passed away. And it's more to it than just the you know, short-term success of getting some quick money from a label. You want to be able to get money for your music from now on. Some of the music that, you know, a lot of artists, I'm talking about visual artists, painters and stuff, a lot of their stuff sometimes doesn't blow up in the way it should until after they've passed away. Well, man, when you're making creative jewels right now, you may think, well, wow, I mean, you know, I never really sold platinum. I never did what this particular artist did or that artist did. But you still don't know what that's going to do later on. None of us have a clue as to what jewels we actually have in our possession when we're creating music. So there's a lot of stuff out there that may blow up for your children's children or for your children. It may not sound as sexy or as glamorous as blowing up right now. I understand that. But when you're making this music and putting your heart and soul and tears into stuff, just know that that music may be the nest egg for your children. And think of it that way, and you might be encouraged to make sure you try to own it and keep it as long as you can, because this stuff lasts longer than you. You know what I'm saying? It's like with Dead President. It's bigger than hip-hop. This is a movement.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I have a tremendous amount of respect for Dead Prez. I'm sorry. Like, I'm fortunate enough I have dropping my premiere issue of Die For Magazine on September 1st, and I have a really, really great interview I can't wait for people to read with Stigman from Dead Prez. And
nice.
It's amazing that the intellects and the minds such as yourself and people like Dead Prez that have blessed this hip-hop game. I mean, you know, minds like that could have done, I mean, been politicians, been doctors, been, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter, you know, sky's the limit. But you chose to speak to the people. So there's somewhat is still politics involved in that, so don't get me wrong. You know, but in general, I mean, you chose to speak not only to the people, but for the people, which is a hard road. That's a hard job.
It is. And, you know, it's funny, but, you know, a lot of people are called to that, and I respect it, too. I mean, Stickman is an inspiration for me, too. I mean, this brother drops jewels daily on Facebook that if he collected those jewels that he drops on Facebook, it could become a book in a heartbeat, you know. You know, I had the pleasure of knowing this guy personally, and just a very community-minded cat, spiritual-minded cat, and just, you know, family-minded cat, musical, of course, you know, fitness, you know what I'm saying? He's, like, into all types of stuff, and it is inspiring, you know. It's inspiring to have people that's constantly trying to evolve and get to the next level, not just monetarily. In fact, that's not his main hustle, but he does well. But his main hustle is evolving as a human being, as a person, trying to take things to the next level. I appreciate that, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, I'm still caught up in the times a little bit too, but maybe that's just me. But I know, but again, that intellect is an essential of what we really need, and it's just a beautiful thing. So let me, you know, to go into just one thing real quick, and I definitely want to play another song for the people to hear. But as far as new artists, I got to ask, I mean, you are a, you know, I'm sure a perfectionist of what you do, not only musically, but just personally and everything. So you still listen to music beyond yourself. You know, what are some of the new artists you listen to? And it doesn't have to be hip-hop. I'm not trying to put anybody, you know what I'm saying, on blast or anything like that. But what is some of the newer music you listen to right now?
Well, I listen to a lot of stuff. I like Drake's new albums. I like Watsky. You know, I love this sister named Laura Mbola. She's from Europe. You know, it's a lot of people that I have the opportunity to listen to that I really, really dig what they're doing and how they're doing it. And it's different, and it's just – it's intriguing to me. You know, I like Rick Ross. I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So it just depends. You know, it depends on the mood I'm in and sort of what the space I'm in at the time. And I can't even think of all the stuff I listen to right now. I love Black Milk.
Dope.
You know, there's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff I listen to. It's funny because, like, when people ask me that, I usually can't actually say the people I've just listened to, like, maybe earlier today. But for some reason,
I know exactly what
yeah, it's like, but the names I'm mentioning are the ones that's coming to my mind right now. But I listen to a pretty big deal of music. You know, I like it a lot.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Well, you know, we really appreciate you, you know, joining us and just speaking your mind, man, because it's so essential for what's going on, like we talked about. I'm going to go into this track up because, again, it definitely just something that needs to be heard. But before we do that, you know, definitely give your last words. You know, anything I forgot to mention or ask that you have going on right now. And, you know, again, we'll let you enjoy your night. And you know, it's just been an honor, man. I'm loving it right now.
Word. Thanks, brother. Well, I got a few things I want to make sure to mention. One is, you know, every third Thursday in Atlanta, Georgia, whenever anybody in your listening range is coming to Atlanta, you got to check out the Mixtape Mixer. It's this networking event I do for music artists, for entertainment artists, and we bring professionals from the field to come in. You're actually able to get their numbers, chat with them, talk with them. They share messages with the crowd. We have performers, DJs. We got, you know, live vinyl, you know, turntable DJs, but also CDJ DJs, and it's just really a great event. So it's every third Thursday here in Atlanta, Georgia, live. I'm always there. I've had legends come through there from everybody, from old school legends to new school, come through there and do various things. So anybody that's ever in Atlanta, definitely come check that out. And then mixtapemixer.org is the website. Then, of course, arresteddevelopmentmusic.com is our website. And that's you'll get everything, the Essentials record that you just mentioned and I mentioned. You'll get this get a chance to peep these little videos for Out to the World and Up and so on and so forth. I want to shout out my man K.O. Cates, who produced a lot of this music on that you're playing tonight. This brother right here has this whole thing called Bridge the Gap, which is basically bridging the gap between education and hip-hop music. And it's a fantastic educational tool for young kids to learn character, to learn you know, various curriculum in school system. And it's sort of like my generation's Schoolhouse Rock. And I don't know if you're familiar with it. De La Soul used like 3 as the magic number from Schoolhouse Rock. Well,
yes, yeah.
It's similar to that, but it's this generation's Schoolhouse Rock. And it teaches everything to kids from kindergarten all the way to high school, all this curriculum, but with hip-hop music behind it and rapping the academy, I mean the academic things that people need to learn. It's really cool. It's very cutting edge and forward thinking. The beats are ridiculous. So I just want to shout out my man K.O. Cates and Bridge the Gap.
Sure.
You can check that out too. Bridge and then D-A Gap. Bridge the Gap. And really, really great stuff. So yeah, and then we got an app too. It's free. So go to your app store and check out Arrested Development. You might have to type in the band because of the TV show. So, you know, Arrested Development band or music, and get our app. It's for free. You'll get a chance to check out some of the music that KO and us have been doing, and you'll get a chance to check out some of our concert footage and just, you know, just vibe with us for a minute. I got a lot of my solo songs on there as well that you may not have heard in the States, because a lot of people don't know my solo career has really blown up overseas. So I do a pretty good amount of touring over there with my solo joints. So you might not have heard these joints. I'm rhyming and doing some singing on some of these songs, and I think you would like them. So definitely peep out this app. It's got a lot of good things on there, and it's free. So why not? You know what I'm saying? Put it on your phone, see if you like it. And if you don't, just erase it. But if you do, keep it and stay in touch.
And it's for iPhone or Android?
iPhone or Android, baby. Go get it.
Excellent.
Right
and
now.
And real quick, too, I actually had a Twitter question. People wondering, you know, what's good with Headliner?
Headliner's my dude, you know what I'm saying? We had our beefs back in the day, back in the early 90s, but, you know, for me at least, I try to live my life righteous as I know how to. So over the years, when you do that, things get healed and things get better. So dude is doing good. He's doing, like, painting artwork and stuff like that. I mean, you know, I think unfortunately some scars are too deep to heal all the way. So there's still some things we can't really talk about. But other things we can talk about, and it's all good.
Absolutely. And, you know, the people ask for the, you know, for the music quality, because they still, again, an era of artists that we felt like we knew and never met them in our lives. You know, it was, and there's nothing replacing that.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. Well, we definitely appreciate you taking the time. If I could ask you one more favor before I let you go, would you mind if I got a Die 4 Radio drop from you?
No doubt. Yeah, definitely. You ready now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yo, this is your brother Speech, live and direct from the hip-hop group Arrested Development. Die 4 Radio forever. Peace.
That's what's up, man. I really appreciate you, man, just taking the time, really. You know, big shout-out to Todd Davis. And I'm going to send you – I got to get it from my brother-in-law, because I was just kind of helping working, like, sound and stuff out there. But I'll get you the website to that group that does the greenhouses and all that, and I'll have Todd send it to you, because it's actually a beautiful – I mean, these – so much fun. It was incredible. So I'll definitely get you
that
information.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also hope to get you in Die 4 Magazine – that Todd Davis and I do together as well, and get some print out there for the people and everything like that. So I definitely hope to be in touch and really just, like I said, just appreciate you spending the time with us.
Stay in touch with us, brother. It's just starting, baby. The iceberg, you're just getting the tip of it. So there's a whole lot about to drop, and we just got to stay in touch.
Absolutely, and I'll make sure to do that. And I had a blast tonight. I'm going to go right now to this song up, Die 4 Radio, Speech in the House. This is the way we do it. Hip hop at its finest. Let's go.
I'm not happy about it. They know that I was on the path with them just a second ago. ago we were inseparable. Then I dropped out and I wish they'd follow the same path as me. It used to be effed up, it's now just you, me. And every way I'm defying the gravity and I'm flying like a bird. And I used to be on the curb, chilling hard around the way and having babies on the way. Had the ladies with the purse open, begging for the bait, cause they had to open eggs and rose to abortion, courtesy of me. I used to be sleek, now I'm so you, me. A soul full of paper, I'm so loose leaf. Ooh, la la, I say Muhammad Ali. Yo, I made the upper cut, but on the up and up, I got much further to go to where my dough is up and up. Come on. Away. And they looking in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. AD came in the game and said it's not a game at all. We not into games at all and we not into fame at all. Made our own lane, y'all grown and up inside a mall. When you gon' grow up and really own up to it all. I used to be just a rebel without a cause, breaking so many laws with my mind down in my drawers. Now I'm raising two kids, I'm defined by the call. Like a car, my engine too revved up to stall. Some trying so hard to lay down, but they can't hold up, so we moving on up. They calling us up, baby, like we up cause of luck. They don't understand, getting a way off, they stuck. Who in here down, we're getting on up. My people are down, so I can never shut up. If it goes up to it, it's all up to us to reach back to the lower class and make them up a crust. Come on.
Yo, check this out. Bring the noise. I'm Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, and you are tuning in to Die For Radio. So do not leave this apparatus.
Die For Radio. You already know how it goes down. It's all about doing the knowledge over here, people. And right now, we really, really going to make you do the knowledge. Everybody that ever knows hip-hop knows who Blowfly is, okay? Come on, man. If y'all don't know, again, that's why we do it. Do the knowledge. Original dirty rapper, you know what I'm saying? It just goes down like that. Right now, we got some, you know, a bunch of stuff to talk about Blowfly. We got his creative partner in the house, Die For Radio. How you feeling tonight, man? I'm excited to get into this because this is such a part of history that it's just a beautiful night. How you feeling tonight?
Well, my man, I'll tell you what. We just played a crazy tour in three very different geographical areas. I'm worn down, but being on here with the radio with you and hearing the love you're giving the Fly, I am wide awake, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and I don't give a damn. It's 12 o'clock on a Tuesday.
I feel you. And we appreciate you taking the time, obviously. And when it comes to, you know, like I said, we really kind of, you know, hashtag that brand, if you will, in today's terms of Do the Knowledge, because there's so much that comes to really, you know, what people consider hip-hop. And a lot of people that say they listen to hip-hop nowadays have no idea. So that's why it's a unique opportunity and just a pleasure to have someone like yourself and you know, creative partner as you are. And everything that Blowfly's done, I mean, it, like you said, you just got off the crazy tour with crazy dynamics. But I have to ask first off, because I know people want to know, what's new? You know, little details of what's going on right now.
Well, this is what's going on. You know, it's never a boring day in a weird world of Blowfly, and sometimes that's way awesome and sometimes it's terrible. And as we were going between Costa Rica and Baltimore, Mr. Blowfly had a radio interview in Seattle. He missed it, called him, like, what's up? And he tells me that he's going to be homeless, if he doesn't come up with $3K by September 30th. Now, Mr. Blowfly is a musical genius, also known as Clarence Reed. You know, you play a lot of samples on your show by Clarence Reed. And, you know, he kind of got hosed about 12 years ago by a loan shark in Beverly Hills out of millions of dollars of royalties. And the problem with Clarence is, as with most geniuses, they're very stubborn folk. And he doesn't like admitting when he needs help, even though he knows I've got his back. So I found it wasn't $3,000. It wasn't September 30th. It was almost $9,000 by September 4th, which means next week his house would have been on the streets. Because when his mama died 3 years ago, he bought a house for his mama in 1990. And she always took care of the tax bill. She's dead. Dade County, Florida is sending a bill to a dead person.
Mm.
Now, you know, most folks might be able to take care of that. But when you can write a cleanup woman and you can write rap dirty, maybe you're not so good at paying the bills. Maybe someone else in the house is supposed to take care of that. Maybe someone took care of it and took the money and pocketed it instead and bought drugs with it. I'm just speculating. But, you know, bottom line, the man was in trouble. So I'm freaking out. This is my worst nightmare. So I throw together an Indiegogo campaign at igg.me/@SaveBlowFly. I threw it up there to our Twitter followers and to our Facebook people. And in 2 days, they did a miracle, and we got $7,300 of that. In 6 days, we got a full $11,000 because PayPal and Indiegogo are expensive, my man. They are expensive. Mm. And we paid that bill, and he's got a long way to go, and we have a little bit of a communication problem with our audience because, like, people see that we made the bill, but, like, that was just the tip of the iceberg, and I had to go for the low amount because that's what we needed to keep him off the streets.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I, you know, we got back from tour. I went straight to the tax office. I took a picture of that big fat check right next to the tax window. I posted it, and it was a great day. But the man still needs to go to probate, get the house in his name. He bought it. He paid for it. You know, that should be his house. And, you know, we're trying to make a trust for him now where this never happens again. So we're going to do a series of benefits.
Needless to say, this is a ongoing campaign. Hello, you still? Can you hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, my bad. Okay. Maybe a little internet problem right there. I said, needless to say, this is an ongoing campaign.
Yep, and as we've incorporated into our tours, we're going out again in September. September 17th, we're playing Hamilton, Ontario. September 18th, we're playing Toronto. September 19th, Lansing, Michigan. September 20th, the Red Line Tap in Chicago. And the 21st at Smalls in Detroit. The Save the Funky House Party Tour. And in November, I think it's safe to announce, we finally got a toe from another member in the hip-hop community. Atmosphere and Despot were awesome enough to drop us some money in the campaign, and we love them for that. But Cool Keith is going to headline our benefit show in Miami November 8th, and that means the world to us.
Absolutely.
So we tried touring with him 2 years ago, and Hurricane Sandy got in the way, that evil bitch, and she wouldn't let Keith out of his apartment. But now it's happening. It can't be stopped. 10 years ago, we did a little brief cameo on a Keith show when we just came out of a shoot for our Fahrenheit 69 record. But now we get to do a real show with him, and that's awesome.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, so to go in, I mean, there's obviously, you know, new music and the touring and everything. How is it, and we're, like you said, you know, it's just the tip of the iceberg money, obviously, you're, you know, what's mm-hmm. on the website, but
right.
How is the, I mean, how do you say it, the reception been with new music and tours and everything? Because it's a weird era. You got to admit, 2014 in music is a weird era we're in.
2014
that,
is very strange. There's no doubt about
that,
it. I mean,
considering his personality, or is that on the social media calendar, if you will, maybe a negative?
Here, this is my take on it. This is basically the music industry's fault. It ate itself. It basically it looked at its feet and said, those are delicious, and it just worked its way up. So this started way before the internet. This started with the advent of Best Buy back in the 90s. You know, there were record stores in every mall. There were independent record stores in every city worth a damn. And everything was just fine for artistic freaks like Mr. Blowfly. and it was just fine for the million-selling folks that like Betty Reed, Betty Wright, and Gwen McCrae, and that they wrote songs for. But these chumps saw a quick way to make a buck, and they undersold the record stores to Best Buy. So Best Buy sold records as loss leaders, and that started the dominoes. So Best Buy knocked out the record stores one by one. And then when they knocked out the record stores, no one, there was no demand to buy music anymore, so they basically stopped selling music. And then you have Napster, which they could have absolutely said, hey, guess what? You know what? We got you. You got us. We got you. Now here's $30 million. And turn over the technology. Go buy yourself an island, and we'll control it from now on. They could have done that. But no, you know, they were just screaming at a wall, yelling like the dumb-ass dinosaurs they were, and they let it go. So, you know, and then, you know, and then we have the death of the album and the advent of, you know, iTunes, where everything's 99 cents. And even then, it wasn't completely dead. You know, there were a few record stores hanging in there. But right around 2003, 2004, when I started working with Clarence, it just started dying a faster and faster death. And now, you know, you basically have vinyl, people who steal shit, and old people who buy CDs. And there are not that many left. I'll tell you, when we sell stuff at shows, it's the vinyl that goes. That just runs right off the merchandise table. Vinyl and T-shirts. Nobody wants CDs. And oddly, cassettes are back, which makes no sense to me.
But, well, you know, collectible. I still buy CDs because I know it's a good dithered 16-bit WAV file. I do music, though, so I know
right.
When I buy that CD, it's going to sound great. I still buy vinyl. I buy some collector's tapes. I get that, mm-hmm. But I buy the collector's tapes, you know, to get them signed and put it in a box.
Okay. I'm
you
with
know?
That.
But I still buy CDs.
I mean, we sell them.
Don't
get me wrong.
No,
sorry,
yeah, for sure. But I agree. It's odd. I mean, it's a weird era.
And then, you know, like social media, like when MySpace was happening, it was a really good thing for us. It was easy for us to interact with our fans. It really was. When we were popping in MySpace, we had like 25,000-26,000 fans. It was easy to find people. It was easy to find gigs if we needed to fill in. I mean, the problem with Facebook is, you know, they let you get fans and they sell them back to you, and they don't sell them back to you that well. So, you know, just to talk to the same people that you've cultivated, you know, over this campaign, I've definitely dropped some coin on ads, you know, and that sucks. I don't want to be spending, you know, money that should be protecting a house, but if I can't do that, no one will know about it. So that's kind of a catch-22. Twitter's pretty good, but Twitter's just so instantaneous. You know, you throw that thing up there, and it's gone. And unless, you know, some celebrity retweets it, you know, it's just off in the ether. You throw one good line down, Mr. Blowfly throws a good joke down or something like that, and, you know, it's good. And then 10 seconds, it's like, well, there it goes.
No, I agree with you on that. I'm still you know, what a lot of things convert to is the Instagram. People love the Instagram because it's a picture that you see with the hashtag or description. Instead
right.
of, you know, on Twitter, usually you'll see the link that you go on the picture. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And, you know, whatnot.
I need to get better at Instagram. Unfortunately, I'm 43 years old. You know, I'm just not as with it as I once was. But, you know, thankfully the music business has kept me, you know, a good 12 years retarded at all times. So, you know, I'm not that far off.
Well, I'm 34, and I still am not on Instagram like I should be. So, you know, there's we definitely, you know, adapt to the times. But it still is a catch-22, like you said. I want to go into some music real quick because I know people are mm-hmm. like, okay, you know, what's happening right now? I'm going to go to this open, and we definitely mm-hmm. going to come right back to you with a few more questions. Die for radio. Man, OGs in the house. Do the knowledge. Let's do this.
There's a lot of weird things going on because of you. I want you to listen.
Ben, most people would turn you away. Cause not only you're a disgusting mouth, but you're totally gay. Ben, you refuse to eat refused to lick Janet's clit, but nobody sucks a dick like Ben. Like Ben. Ben, now we have proof that you're super pain. You spent the entire night sucking a dick for Michael's brother Jermaine. Then Ben, you made all our pain start. You made us fart when you bit off the dick of Almighty God. Why Ben? You a llama. Ben, you bit off the dick of President Obama. You're a disgusted Ben. I wonder what Mighty Mouse would say about you. Anyway, Ben, you are a tit-smelling, fish-smelling, will-wishing, no-dushing, discharging, cramp-munching, dander-curving, blender-draws-wearing, BD-tested, lights-infested, dissected, voucher-rejected. That's what you are, Ben. But I love you. Not for what you've done.
Die for radio, Blowfly, putting it down and being who he is.
Zoe. I love that.
You
because
already
there's
know.
A couple lines
know.
In there that he even shocked himself with one or two lines. And he's like, did I really just say that? And we're like, oh, yeah. You did.
Oh, my goodness. You know, just the uniqueness about it, though, is just so dope because it's like you can never fault a person or a man or woman or whatever, so I say person, but that just wants mm-hmm. to be themselves. And, like, you know, screw if anybody likes it or not. I'm happy with myself. And that's what I always mm-hmm. loved about him, you know what I'm saying, to where
mm-hmm.
no holds barred, take it or leave it, this is me. And it's ironic. Most people that really can portray that attitude in a convincing way, most people like.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not able to pull it off, they're like, what an asshole. But he's been able to pull it off.
Well, he's a funny bastard, you know, and humor
I'm sure there's some people
that
don't like it, but I mean, in general, I mean, he's found success from doing it, so come on.
Yep. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, Weird World, he's been making records since 1961. For 10 years, he made soul records. And then for another 10 years, he made soul records and Blowfly records. And he's been making Blowfly records for another 20 years after that. I mean, that's 50 years of making records and 40 years of making dirty records. That's a lot of records. And I've had the privilege of co-writing and producing five of them. So, and we're about
nice.
To make another one.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. So, obviously, now I got the website up here. So it's Indiegogo, people, for to save Blowfly House from the tax man. Indie is IndieGogo.com. And / you know what? Is the because I have the issue that has the / projects and everything. Obviously, you need that.
Yeah, the short URL is http://igg.me/@/saveblowfly.
Okay, cool. And I'll make sure to get that, you know, website printed out too. It's easier to copy and paste on.
And it ain't just a bag. We got some crazy perks on this. We got $100 signed Blowfly masks. For $500, the author of Clean Up Woman, which has sold 3 million copies, even though that song's 42 years old, it still has 1.75 million plays on YouTube. The writer of that song will write a song for you about anything you want and give it to you for $500. That's a deal, my friend.
Now, I see, too, $200 could get you a dinner with Blowfly as well.
Oh, and that's a treat, I'll tell you. He'll tell you about all sorts of things about where your food came from.
All right. So, you know, definitely people check out the site because it's not just, you know, donate. There's benefit to fans, to, you know, people of the music and the whole nine
mm-hmm.
yards. Definitely check it out. You know, before I let you go, I appreciate you taking the time. I'm glad we got the time to definitely meet up. Any last words you want to give? Any words for him, yourself, anything that I left out?
Well, you know, I would just, you know, we kind of touched on the new stuff, you know, and that's awesome, and thank you for that. You know, just there's some records out there. One of the things we used to get a bunch of garbage about was this whole thing about who is the first rapper. And people get really defensive if anyone suggests that the guy who, you know, at least, I mean, there's no arguing, he's one of the pillars. There's just records with dates on them, and you can't argue those. But people get defensive when their most beloved thing in their life, and they take it super seriously, you know, was invented by a guy in a mask and a cape. But, you know, and obviously there are many facets to the culture, and I'm not going to deny that. But if you're just talking about rhyming on beat to a record, you know, people, there's this whole thing about did Rap Dirty come out in 65 or 1980 or what? But there's another record called Shake Your Ass, and that came out in 1976, and that's a rap song. That's on Blowfly Disco. And that song is rapped. And I don't know of any rap songs before 1976 to funk music. I just don't. So, you know, we appreciate any kind of connection with the current hip-hop culture. We would like to see more of you folks at the show. You know, we see you every once in a while, and we have a very strange audience mixed of, you know, funk fans and punk rockers and people who just like wild stuff. But, you know, I personally love it when I see some brothers yelling out Rap Dirty, you know, when we play Masterpiece, which Jurassic 5 sampled, when they're going off to that and they're grooving to the funk, into the rap music. I mean, I get chills. And we would love to see that more often. I mean, sometimes it happens. It's a very hit-or-miss kind of deal. But, you know, usually when folks know, and it's usually when we're in the daily paper and not the weekly one. That's a weird divide. I don't get it, but, you know, that's just what it is. But, yeah, when we're in the daily paper, we'll see some hip-hop fans out there. So I guess I just got to get us some more daily papers.
Absolutely. But, you know, stuff like this that we do here, you know, aids that a little bit, and you know, ego aside, just you know, people that actually go back and do some knowledge, because it's amazing, you know, the way music was recorded and everything back then. It's still just amazing, you know, hits since you said what, 61? Is that what you said?
61 was his first single, and you know, by 69 he had a number 7, you know, R&B hit with Nobody But You, Babe, which DMX sampled for We In Here. That da 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 da. That's the opening break for Nobody But You, Babe.
So and, you know, and again, that's kind of the point of my show is to bring stuff in like that, because now, you know, people don't know about sampling anymore. They got Fruity Loops. I'm just saying, but.
Yeah.
you know, that's my job here. So again, we salute you for taking the time. We look forward to catching up with you again. I mean, anything you guys got going, just make sure you let us know. Again, big shout out to Todd Davis, definitely to put me up on game, and we really appreciate your time.
And thank you, my man. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We hope to see everyone out there, and we'll get out to California soon enough, maybe in the winter. And hopefully
okay,
we'll
cool.
See you
yeah,
down
let
there.
Me know, because you know, I'm out here in LA, so whatever I can do to aid or help, just, you know, get me involved, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely, we are long overdue to play LA, and you know, one of my favorite shows we ever did, and I'll leave you with this, was in 2005. How's this for a dirty show? It was Blowfly with Mr. Mix of Two Live Crew on stage with us, and Dolemite. Rudy Ray Moore was on stage with us. So we did Dolemite and Blowfly with the DJ of Two Live Crew. That show was filthy. I mean, it would have gotten us arrested in several southern states.
That's great. Well, we look forward to you coming back out here, man, definitely. And I'm going to, you know, like I said, get me involved, and we'll go from there, and we'll make it make sense.
Hell yeah. Thank you, my
Let's
man.
Let's do it. I'm going to take it back real quick, too. We just had the recent privilege of having the Gucci crew on not too long ago, a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
and they dropped their new single. So we heard something, you know, from Originator Blowfly. I'm going to go ahead and replay this Gucci Crew, Hey You. And until the next time, again, we salute you. I appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you, my man. Peace.
Peace.
Come on. Come on. It's party time. Yo, down the streets up to the birds, you heard, it's platinum time that you deserve. Brand new treat for your boys and girls, brand new jam for around the world. Throw your hands up when you need to drop, cause I guarantee we'll never stop. It's the Gucci Crew, how you do? It's been a while and we miss you. Can't deny it's official now. Showing 40, yeah, we get down, we get round. New in town, come along, it's party time. The back of boom, act the clown. Cause a ruckus, yeah, head down, fill it up, have some fun. You know the model, you live it once, come on.
Hey,
goes down. Now I got to tell you, I really like that song, and everybody knows, you know, the old school stuff that the Gucci Crew 2 did and everything. I really like their approach with that single with Hey You. And I know a lot on Die For that we play is a lot of lyrical, a lot of boom bap, almost your underground, I guess you would call it now. You know, I call it true school hip hop, whatever it is. But I really like their approach on that track. I mean, I really have to say, and I think that can hit a mass audience. So I give a big shout out. It was a pleasure having the Gucci Crew on the show, a few weeks ago, and I had a blast. But right now, we got a whole different situation. We got Oracle Jane Doe in the house, the lyrical miracle herself. How you feeling tonight?
I'm doing really, really, really good, especially right now.
And me as well, I have to say. And, you know, what was so dope, and a lot of my followers that I have, you know, everybody else that's followed me since then, but, you know, I grew up going to shows with, like, you know, the tours with the Visionaries and, you know, AC Alone and Freestyle Fellowship. And you know, Living Legends and all sorts of stuff like that. So, obviously, it's a pleasure to be in the presence of someone with some substance like you. I mean, this is just a beautiful thing.
Thank you so much, man. I mean, just to be able to be amongst a group of MCs that were you know, or still are, just like so much, it's so much talent, it's ridiculous, you know, and it's a lot of untapped talent, and then we got some that are just flourishing, you know. Shouts out to, you know, Dumbfounded and you know, Open Mic, all those cats, like, you know, Kale, they really mm-hmm. like the blow to another dimension, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
and
now,
as well,
definitely. Now, I know tonight's about you,
yes.
But a lot of that has to do with my show, and I'll say this straight out because it's my show. I mean, big shout out to Todd Davis, that's my partner in this, and my boy Matt Four. But I have people on here that I want, you know, that I grew up listening to, and that, you know, I'm still influenced by to this day. Saying that, with you doing music, who are you still influenced by this day and time? Because we'd love to do music, but there's still somebody that's just, you know, still makes you just want to do it at the peak that you are doing it.
You know what? I'm really still encouraged by a lot of old, you know, artists. I, right now, there's a lot of youth, and there's a lot of, like, different rules that these elders, unknown rules, like vocal rules that, you know, people nowadays don't even pay a mind to, you know. And I know for a fact that I'm growing in my vocals and everything like that. And so I listen to a lot of, like, old Nina Simone, and I listen to a lot of Billie Holiday, and I love Lauryn Hill, and, you know, just I like sultry voices and people that are saying something. I think that's why, I mean, you can tell it's evident in my music. It's just that's where I'm at.
It's so
right
funny
now,
you brought up Lauryn Hill, because I do listen to a lot of, like, boom bap. I mean, everything I listen to is from the 90s. I mean, for real,
right.
You know, East Coast to West Coast, whatever. I'm boom bap, I'm underground, you know, it doesn't matter. But
yeah.
On my shuffle, I have, you know, the Miseducation album on there. And every time X Factor comes on, like, I sing the whole thing. My girl always makes fun of me. She loves the song, too. She always is like, man, you know, listen to, like, it'd go from, like, an N.W.A. song to X Factor, and I'm still singing X Factor. She always gives me flack for that. But
my favorite Lauryn Hill album is that Unplugged album. I mean, I could listen to that. That album takes. It has to be like a certain time in my life where I listen to that, when I'm really going through something and I just need to be, like, cleansed, musically cleansed. I listen to that. I mean, I still to this day, whenever she sings and she starts to cry, I still to this day get chills. You know what I mean? To this day. And sometimes I'll still just cry, because it's like, she was really being transparent and personal at that time, and it was just like, wow, it touched me. You know, from wherever she was in that moment to now, it still touches me, you know? Lauren,
I got to see something very unique before I go on to the next question. I have to bring this up. But growing up here in L.A., we had a lot of the Bob Marley Fest over here at the Long Beach Convention Center for years.
Yes.
So this is maybe 2001, maybe 2002. And, you know, I went to a bunch of them. But at the time, I believe she was dating Damian Marley. And mm-hmm. the way the Bob Marley Fest goes is, Saturdays is more like dance hall reggae, you know, more like a club in this amphitheater, and Sundays more roots reggae, like the Gregory Isaacs and, you know, stuff like that. Well, Damian Marley was on the Sunday, and
Wait,
Lauryn Hill came out.
Rohan, though, right? She was with Rohan, though, right?
What's that?
I thought she was Rohan Marley. I thought she was with Rohan Marley.
At the time, I think, I might have my information wrong, but because she came out and I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure, because then there was an article about it. But either way, she came out before Damian Marley in, like, a New York Knicks jersey and some cargos with her acoustic guitar, and played, like, a 25-minute set just live, you know, improv for everybody. And then Damian Marley came out. And it was before cell phones and before, you know, all that. And so... No one, I haven't seen a tape of it or anything, but it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. Real talk.
Man, see, you know, I think that's what we're missing, you know? We're missing that. We're missing that in hip-hop. We don't have, like, intimate moments like that anymore as far as hip-hop is concerned. Like, I would love to be the one to spearhead that, you know? I mean, I know there's way more artists than me doing it, but that's my passion. I want it to be like, you know, the entire crowd involved in this. You know what I mean? Because this music is a tool. It's a cleansing tool, and I want to be a part of that part of the music, you know?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So not to go on too much on that, because this is about you. So yes. What's happening with you right now? And obviously we got some tracks to play, but definitely enlighten these people a little bit and tell them what you got going on.
Well, Anatomy just dropped on Tuesday the 19th, and I'm so excited. You know, like, this is so many years in the making, and I said the day that I kept trying to call XL, shout out to Donald XL Robinson, I kept calling him like, wait, take that song off. We're not doing that one anymore. We're not putting that one on. He's like, why? Like, no, it's just a feeling, you know, and I feel like the day that we released the album, I was, like, naked in a room full of people, you know? I keep telling everybody that, like, I'm naked. I'm in the room full of people, and now everybody's just poking and prodding and seeing, oh, what is that? Oh, okay. It's imperfect, you know what I mean? But it's cool. I like it, you know? And just the thought of that project itself being out, I'm overjoyed, you know? This is bigger than anybody can understand for me, you know, to be able to just get to the point where that project is out and in the streets. So I'm very excited.
Now, isn't it a little freedom enough, though, too, that, you know, it's not, I mean, you do have your own freedom in what you do somewhat as far as this digital era. And I know what you're saying, because we've just had a speech earlier on from Arrested Development. He was
yes.
at the beginning of the show. And we talked about kind of how we're our own worst critics.
Yes.
But at the same time, there's somewhat of a freedom that we can release our own music. I mean, that's the point of it. And you know, one of the points he brought up earlier was, he said, you know, own your own music and, you know, obviously the essentials. But with this era, we can put out whatever and speak to these people. And a lot of people don't use that to the advantage that could really be
And I think you're right in that sense, and that's why you have to calculate your moves as far, especially when you're just presenting something. You know what I mean? And for me, it was all about a feeling. When I was going to release this project on my own without Pretty Ill, and I had a full project that I sat on for years, and then finally I was like, okay, I'll put these out as a mixtape. This is mixtape, trying to get people used to me singing. And then, boom, here comes the album, you know?
Yeah.
And I met with XL, and he was like, yo, you have to do this on another level. Like, you have to make this album accessible to everyone. You can't just go mixtape it again. You can't just put it out and try to get 1,500 people on Twitter to download it. No, this is a number game, and you have a product that the world needs to hear. And he was like, we're just going to tweak this and fix this and change this. And you know what I mean? And we came up with something that I'm proud of. I listened to it, and I was like, wow, okay. I'm okay with this. I'm well with this. I kept wanting to pull back on certain things, but I'm well with it. I think I gave my life to the world. You know what I mean? Like, what I've been going through in the last 10 years, everything that I wanted to purge from and everything that I'm trying to, you know, a newfound confidence, all that is in this project. And so I'm cool now. I'm on to the next project already. They're like, okay, like, time to promote. But I'm still like, okay, let's go. Let's make some more music.
Well, no, I agree. I mean, but we could spend our lives, you know, critiquing ourselves and saying that's not going to be good enough. That's, you know, a little bit of that is part of our perfection, because, to say, you know, that's not good enough. To me, that doesn't sound the best.
Right.
Or might be. You know, it's so funny, as a musician and as a producer, real quick, on myself, it's always the songs that my people love that I'm like, I actually regret emailing the first person. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I hate that song.
Right.
Being the people's favorite songs.
I know. Oh, my God, that's so funny you said that. I'm so happy you said that because there's a song on there. I'm not going to say the name of the song, but I called him. I was like, is it too late to take that one off? He was like, yep, it's already out for pre-sale. I was like, oh, no. And then so the first day it came out, one of my homeboys hit me from New York and was like, boom, this song are my favorite. Why was that one his very favorite one? I was like, I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen.
And you know it's that song, too, because it's like, okay, I'm going to – they always say listen to your first instinct, right? You know, so listen to your – my first instincts on all those songs is not put it out, but yet I continue to mix it. I continue to put, like, these little ad-libs and these little things to fill it in to try to make myself feel better. You know what I'm saying? And then, yeah, I don't want to put it out, but then I upload it and then put it out and it ends up being a smash. And then I still, like, hate doing it live and shit like that because I still have that insecurity about it.
We always, you know, what that happens with the system. Shout out my homegirl. I always shouting people out, but my homegirl Candy, every time we about to do something, Candy's like, no, I don't like that verse. Let's do that over. I don't want to do that verse. You know, it's like, it's that moment where you like, wait, I want to put my very, 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 very best foot forward. And then, but your best foot is already forward, but we're our worst critics, so, you know.
Absolutely.
That's how it is.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to go into a song real quick because, you know, we got people obviously listening. I got a lot more to, you know, ask you and get some dialogue from you, obviously. But I'm going to go into Rebel real quick. Tell these people a little bit about the song because I'm not saying it's different in a bad way, but they're going to expect a beat coming on and this and that, and they're about to get an earful right now. So prep these people a little bit for this track.
Okay. So Rebel was, at the time, my ode to the 99% for occupying L.A. and occupying Wall Street and occupying areas that I wouldn't do. I was working. The 9 to 5, I had to be to work. Actually, a 2 to 6, I needed to be there, so I couldn't fight the fight. So the way that I chose to fight the fight was to write a song. My friend Irwin came over. I told him, just play licks. Just play a whole bunch of licks. Just play. I'm going to record them. And then later on, I just grabbed a couple pieces and put them together, you know, tacked them together on the MPC, and then came up with this song. And I did it in one take Jake on this. I just sang it through, and I was like, let me just close my eyes. I probably had like a little bit of vodka, to be honest with you, probably some vodka, you know, maybe.
Hey, come on now.
I just, you know, I needed to get warm, my shoulders warm. And so I just closed my eyes and whatever came out. And I did the first two verses, which you don't hear on here because we had the beautiful Maya Jupiter lay a second verse. And then after we listened to her verse, X said, we need to do a third verse. And so the third verse, which I think is very, it's an oracle. the lyrics are an oracle because it's pretty much me speaking into times that we are now in Ferguson, hashtag
yep.
Ferguson.
Hey, pun intended. This is one of the situations you can say, pun intended.
yes, definitely. And I just feel like this song, when I wrote it, I felt like it was just special, and I had a vision of me performing it amongst all these people. And then a couple months ago at Pride, we had 30,000 people out there singing my song, Rebel. It was just like amazing. And I just feel like this one little song is going to do something big, and I just know it is. I'm very, very, very excited about it, and it's nothing big, you know what I mean? It's just an oracle. It's just an oracle. That's what it is, an oracle from the oracle. And it's an ode to a time that we are in and things that, you know, I just heard somebody say we need the faith to just continue because there's so much craziness. This is my act of faith, this music, this song, Rebel.
And it's so ironic, too, because the first song I played, like I said, our first guest that we had, Speech from Arrested Development, was called Out to the World, and he had actually brought up in the verse Trayvon Martin, and now we are in the Ferguson times, and like you said, almost an oracle. So this whole night has been kind of a weird, you know, like, you know, some things are meant to be in this world, and we... we could go on that, like, you know, all night. But I'm telling you, there's been a crazy, you know, real positive vibe I've had with tonight, and it's kind of boiling down to the same issues, which means those issues are really out there.
That's right, and that means there's solutions in the air too, you know.
Absolutely. So we about to go rebel, you know what I'm saying, preacher Maya Jupiter, Oracle Jane Doe in the house, Doppel Radio. This is how we always do it. The substance is right here in your ear. Let's go.
So what do you want me to do?
I don't know, something. Take it something. Like that.
Like that?
Yeah. All right, here we go. All right, I got something. I'm a rebel with a cause, fighting for it all, fighting for it all, my friend, rebel, see I'm a rebel with a cause, fighting for it all.
We just talked about this earlier. We're such in a fragile state right now, not just physically, but just like everything with the Ferguson, and just not only that, you know, there's so much negativity we have in this world, especially with Facebook. I'm seeing some people post, like, even, you know, cops doing something to people that happened like 10 years ago, but they're redating it, saying it happened yesterday, and like, I mean, everybody is like focusing on negative so much.
I know. And it's like, it's to the point where I don't want to call anybody out, but sometimes you look to certain energies to get a positive feedback so that you can move forward. You know what I mean? And then you'll have those same people like, oh, my God, it's just so rough right now. Like, they don't even have faith. It's like, whoa. And I just refuse to live in fear anymore, you know. I don't want to live like that. I want to loose myself from that. And I don't want to desensitize myself from what's going on, but at times you just got to turn the TV off, man. You cannot you cannot sit there and listen to that all day, because eventually you're going to drive outside. I done found myself driving outside and looking like, you know, looking at people like, you know, just mad for no reason. And that energy is in the air, and you never know what's going to happen. I just found out right up the street from me, some man was killing people. They killed three people over here. I'm not knowing, like, literally, like, I could walk out to the place where they got killed. And I didn't know that. I'm in a gated community, thank the Lord. And it's you know, it's just, it's scary. It's scary. I'm blessed that I'm able to keep certain things out, but you never know what you keep out and what's inside. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, it's crazy right now, but I refuse to live like that. I refuse to just let myself bask in the fact that, oh, something's going to happen. No, yeah, something good is going to happen, because I know that that's not the plan for me, you know?
Yeah,
that's not the plan.
My boy Todd Davis said it good. He said state of the world music. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like almost than a conscious rap. And I'm going to tell you, I live in the valley. You know, here in L.A., and there was a crazy situation just happened up the street not too long ago where, like, dudes got chopped up and all sorts of crazy shit. And,
oh, yeah, I'm in Cali, too. I hear you.
yeah, you know, so it was like, you know, I'm in Van Nuys, so it's, you know, every once in a while, this ain't, and I feel like I'm in a good area. I got kids. My kids go to school down the street and everything. But, you know, mm-hmm. The world we live in, it doesn't really matter. You know, there's all sorts of stuff happening. So, I mean,
it's true.
You just got to kind of move with the times. But, again, when you do music like that, it brings it back to an era, which I always talk about, that you felt like you knew the artist. Okay, I felt like I knew you by listening to a song. I feel like if I met you at a show that I can say, hey, I relate to what you're saying. I know you, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big disconnect with artists nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, We it's funny because even though it seems like we are a lot freer as artists, people are saying what they want to say, but it's still kind of like, oh, I'm going to say it because everyone else is saying it like this. So I'm going to do it in this same cadence, and I'm going to do it just like this, just so I can still be safe. You know, I didn't want to do that this time. I just kind of wanted to let what I had in me out. You know what I mean? I didn't want to keep any of that. Those like barriers on myself musically, you know. So
have to.
Yeah, you have to. You really do.
And there's the thing too. I mean, it's because they're like, okay, well, he made money off that last, but he made money off that last single, so I'm gonna sound like that. But what happens is the longevity that song is not there.
Right.
You know, in 2025. I'm not going to be listening to a song that says, turn it up. Look at, here's a perfect example. There's 40 songs I grew up to. You know, obviously, Two Live Crew and all this. But then even, you know, think about, like, Tag Team had Whoop, There It Is and all this stuff. Like, hear those songs, it takes me back. Those are classics because of the time. But
right.
Are those the songs that you're taking in time that have that substance that you're like, yo, you know,
no.
This somewhat saved my life. Or this got me through my divorce, or this got me through, you know, custody with my kid, or whatever it might be, real life situations.
And you know what, when you think about it, and I think that's probably why my soul is so connected to soul music, because the songs that when you say, every time you said those, any of those songs, I the nostalgia brought me back to soul music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It all brought me to a place where I was kind of like reveling in, like, in my divorce, in my personal life, in my divorce. I remember Anthony Hamilton listening to that album. That is, you know what I mean? Like, and then my breakups, and then my first love, I listened to with my boy. You wanna get over? You know what I'm talking about? Light Skin Dream. Come on.
Oh my God! Yeah, you're gonna kill me with.
Yes, he's a radio host now.
Why are you gonna do that to me?
Oh my God, it's gonna kill me. Oh my God.
I get it though. But go ahead, keep on what you're saying, I get it.
But it's just like, it's all been like the soul music, the singing, you know what I mean? Something that just kind of like left an impression on me, you know, Marvin Gaye. It's, you know, Nina Simone just left a huge impression on me. I think I watched a movie that they played Nina Simone throughout the whole movie. I think it was this lady with a thief or something like that. But the movie just, it haunted me. And I felt like, wow, I don't know this woman, but why does my voice sound like her? You know, and then I was like, well, let me research her. And then I remember Lauryn Hill saying, I'll be Nina Simone defecating on your microphone. And I was like, okay, let me see who this woman is, because this music is haunting me, you know. And I started researching it. I started listening to her, and I like found out how she was like the high priestess of soul. And I was just like, why do I connect so much with this woman? And I don't even, you know what I mean? I started reading books, and I just realized that it's just because when you're a soul that is expressive, you connect. You know what I mean? And that could be through hip hop, that could be through soul music, that could be through anything. And I just happen to fuse them both together, you know, and creatively give a piece of me in this project, in Anatomy. So, you know.
Yep. I completely agree. You bring up Lauryn Hill again. I mean, on that Fugees, the score. I mean, she murdered that album.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, to open up, you know, how many MCs, like, whew, how many MCs we rip on the daily. I mean, come on now.
Right.
Come on now. You're going to open the album with that? You know, they had the intro, and then they killed. And it's funny, they let her do her thing on purpose. Right. Obviously, it's not funny, but come on now.
But that type of energy, like all three of them, like that type of energy is uncontainable. Like there was no way that they could just contain her, you know, and just make her just like another pretty face. Her energy was too strong for that. So that was the wonderful thing about the Fugees, because, you know, each one of them were stars, but some of them just shined a little brighter, you know. I love the Fugees. I love Omar Eclipse still to this day.
The score, that's one of my favorite tracks. But anyway, I got some callers on the line. I gotta play the Sunshine because obviously I love Rebel, but when I heard the Sunshine, I was like, yep, there's definitely some gotta be played. We're gonna come right back to you. I'm having a blast right now, so don't worry. You're home. Die for Radio. You already know how it goes down. I'm gonna kill the Sunshine. Let these people hear it. And I'm going to ask you a little bit about it because I really connected with this one. So, Doctor Radio, we having a blast right now. Oracle Jane Doe in the house. This is how the sunshine beams on Doctor Radio. Let's go.
Release the pressures and the negative things. The tied strings, bonds broke. You constantly provoke. I wanna be free. Set the sea like a ripple in rage. And put my frustrations on stage. And although I'm alone, so much sunshine. So much sunshine. So much sunshine. You see, it seemed as if I couldn't breathe. Suffocated by the memory. Finally got my sanity back and found me. It really wasn't meant to be. You lost and should've loved me. And now I see the boundaries of lifting me. Higher than I'd ever be. No limits to me. I'm who I wanna be. And although I'm alone, there's so much sunshine. Yeah. So much sunshine. So much sunshine.
to you seemed as if I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. Couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. To you seemed as if I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. Couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. To you seemed as if I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. To you seemed as if I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. Now I couldn't breathe. It seemed as if I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. No, I couldn't breathe. No, no, I couldn't breathe. Say no more, 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 no more.
Hey, I'm gonna leave that man alone.
No.
Radio Sunshine, Oracle James Doe in the house. And we talk about substance and soul. All I hear is soul. See, I'm a little privileged, though, I will have to say. I grew up as a kid, and my family, we grew up with an upright grand piano in our living room that was somewhat out of tune, but also had, you know, this lever at the bottom of it that you'd pull over, and it would put down these little things in front of the keys that had metal tips to give you like the honky-tonk like twang sound. And I grew up playing like blues.
Oh, wow.
I, you know, I grew up playing blues and boogie-woogie on the piano from like 5 or 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, and everything I've done with myself musically as far as hip-hop, especially playing the piano, my first instinct is to get some blues chords going.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sadness in the music and that depth and that pain. Because when you're really doing that music, you know, it's almost like a punching bag, personally, to me.
Mm-hmm.
No getting aggressions out. But I really like that song, the chord progressions, the vibe of it, everything. I relate to that, just like what we were talking about.
You know, that song has been done over so many times, like by different producers, and that version right there is by this dude named Dylan Finley. Shout out to him. He listened to it, and that's what he came up with. That energy on it was cool because it just took it to a different place. I wrote this song 10 years ago, and it was recorded a couple different ways. You know what I mean? Of course, ways that I probably couldn't afford to put out. And I, you know, I decided to share, you know, a really, really crazy event that happened in my life, you know, and it was a very personal song. It's a very personal song, you know, and I'm so excited that I'm able to share it because I feel like it's it speaks volumes.
Yes, it absolutely does. It speaks volumes. I love that phrase, too, because people can say what I do speaks volumes or, you know, my song speaks volumes, but, you know, when you hear the song, you know whether it speaks volumes or not, and you are 100% right with that. I mean, it just absolutely speaks volumes. I'm going to – I got a 724 caller chiming in real quick here on Doppel Radio. 724, we live on the air. Oracle Jane Doe. Sunshine, you just heard. Before that, I don't know if you're on the line, but we played Rebel with Maya Jupiter. Just a beautiful, beautiful, you know, show we have. What's happening with you?
Oh, man, what's good, Dar, man? Everything's great. Y'all just got off work, tuning in the show, you know, like I always do, man. I'm supporting the movement, man. Dar for you. Already know what it is.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So you heard Sunshine there. And this is, you know, a big follower of ours here, Josh out here in Pennsylvania here at Die 4 Radio. But you heard the substance and everything, and I you know, I'll tell you, Oracle, right now, he's 21 years old, correct, Josh?
Yes, sir.
21, but he listens to everything from the 90s that we listen to and everything like that. So
oh.
it's unbelievable. But as far as, like, you know, the substance –
especially in this day and time, Josh, isn't that the type of music that we really need to start connecting to again?
Man, yes, we definitely need more music like that because there's just too much negativity in the music nowadays, well, in the mainstream, that is, not all music, but in the mainstream, a lot of rappers promoting a lot of, you know, BS and all that, and there's just so much killing because I did catch the tail end of what you were saying about what's going on with Ferguson and, you know, Ebola and all that negative stuff, man, and the music that's being perpetrated out now is just, it's not a good look, and actually, you know, I think the OGs of rap should really, you know, stand up and say something, but, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, definitely people like you, though, who made that song, that's just going to lead the forefront, and platforms like this, and also things I do as well on the side, man, you know, it's a collective effort, so definitely,
yeah,
guys,
exactly.
we do need positivity in the game, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a collective effort. I'm so happy that, you know, that it's still people, you know, 21, you know, connected to music from that time. I think at times, me being a little older, I always think, oh, God, man, certain people won't get this. And so when I hear somebody, you know, of your age, and even my daughter plays my music sometimes, and it trips me out. I'm like, wow, like does she actually like it, or is she playing it? It's me, you know, it's just kind of weird, but good music is good music, you know, good music is good music, and that's pretty much what I like to do is good music and feel good music, so I'm glad that, you know, you as a 21-year-old, you know, noticed that, and thank you very much, Pennsylvania.
Oh, you're welcome, and also yeah. Another thing I have to say as well is that you're not going to understand the stuff that's out now if you don't, you know, listen to the stuff that was back then, you know what I mean? It's all a collection. Everything comes full surface when you actually do the knowledge, as Dar always says 24/7, do the knowledge and actually take the time to see this is how it was. And then when you listen to the new music nowadays, it's kind of like they're kind of repeating what other people have done before, but it's just completely different in the era, you know, because we're so social media out, you know, we can send a picture in 5 seconds. So compared to the 90s and what was really being told on rap records, like from Spice One or something like that, you know what I mean? Compared to what Young Jeezy doing. Young Jeezy, you know, to me, Young Jeezy doing it for show, but Spice One was really in it. You know, a lot of people don't know Spice One was from Houston, and, you know, and he moved up to the Bay, and he was really in that stuff. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's a gotta do the knowledge, man.
Yeah, and it's, you know what, we are in an era where it's just, you know, everything is quick and fast, and I even have certain people that will ask, well, my kids will say, oh, wow, I'll play a song, and they say, oh, that was a song already? Oh, okay. Like, they thought it originated when they heard the version now, when the version now was actually two versions after it, you know, like somebody else redid that, they redid their version, and you know what I mean? So like you said, everything does come full circle, you know, and we are in a time where it is time for us to just kind of like we rely on that song right there, So Much Sunshine. That's like Ain't No Sunshine kind of, you know what I mean? Like it's the same vibe. It's the same vibe but it's not a sad song. I always felt like the original song was so sad, you know, like, dang. His woman, oh, man. But I always say in that song, it's not a sad song. That was like a victory song for me. You know, that's a victory song because I made it out of a very, very tumultuous situation, and I'm actually able to share it with somebody. So that's not a sad song at all, but it is a, you know, a feeling song, you know. And I'm glad you connected with that. Thank you. Again.
You're definitely welcome. And also, I fell victim of that same thing as well. You know, I'm a little younger, so when a song I just first seen, like PMD's Underground Connection album, I thought that joint was new when I first heard it, but it came out in 01, and I was like, oh, man.
But that's when you know it's timeless music, right? That's timeless music. Sound like it just came out? Man, that's timeless.
Yep, of course.
Josh, we appreciate you, homie, rocking with us. You already know how it goes down here on Dafo Radio, having a blast.
Already, man. You know it.
Thanks, Josh. Check out the album, man.
Definitely. Well, we're definitely going to get you the information out there. We're definitely going to, like I said, I was excited to begin with.
I definitely got one more question, and then also to give, you know, your last words, anything I forgot, which, you know, apologize if I did that, but the floor be yours. But I always have to ask this question because you have been, you know, around for a while, seen a lot of things. It is a grueling business we work in, whether underground, independent, signed, doesn't matter, you know, trying to do your thing. What are some of the biggest lessons you learned in the game so far, that really, I mean, personally, you know, made you the person I guess you are today, if you say. But, you know, what are some of the biggest lessons you learned in this rap game, honestly?
You know, man, I've learned so many lessons. But, you know, I think when you said it, the thing that struck a chord with me was, I don't know if people know, I used to, well, I also produce music as well. And I kind of like stepped back from it because I needed to focus, you know, because I know I'm good at writing and all that. So I focused on that right now. But I worked for Ronnie DeVoe for a New Edition, and I worked in his studio. Man, and it was just like a great opportunity, and he put me in places that I probably shouldn't have been, you know what I mean? Like, I was able to be like right behind the stage when P. Diddy was about to walk out at the American Music Awards, and, you know, I'm in his studio. I had a key to his studio, and I had access to just recording and making music all the time. And I utilized it very, very well for quite some time. But then I fell victim to a different situation where I got distracted. And I learned a lesson by not allowing my surroundings influence me. You know, there was an event. Oh man, I'll never forget it. And I don't think me and Ronnie's our relationship was the same after it, because there was a situation where I had a group of women that would travel with me. They were called the Circle of Soldiers, SOS, and those were my sisters that I went to college with. And it was like our own, like, little, I guess, sorority or sisterhood, where we worked together. And we did this show, and we had this whole performance plan. And the guy called us up on stage. We got up there and did our thing. And then he kind of, like, cut our show. And we got together and went back to the back, and I went to Ronnie, and I was so upset, and I went off, you know. And I should have kept a cool head, but I allowed my surroundings and the people around me to rile me up and get me, like, in a place where I had never been with him. And I felt like I probably should have dealt with that different. So my lesson learned in that situation is never allow your friends or your surroundings to influence you. Always keep a cool head, you know, and when you have a fragile, not fragile, when you have a good relationship with someone, know that it's better to just kind of talk to them, you know, especially in this industry, because they could be cool with you right then and there, but after that, they not messing with you. You know what I mean? Because you just kind of like should have chose a different way. And now, for being in this business so long, I've realized that it is important to think before you speak, because a ball is black and it will get thrown your way if you say wrong or do the wrong thing. You know what I mean? And it'll shut you out for some time. And I don't think Ronnie didn't shut me out or anything like that. I shut myself out, because that was a different, you know, crossroad in my life. And at that time, I took a break from music anyway. So it was just kind of like one of those things, you know, that happened. But that's one of my major lessons, that I will never, ever allow myself to have business with someone and not speak to them, you know, face-to-face and have a real, you know, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again, ever.
Well, you know, what a lot of time, because our own self-egos, almost sometimes in situations, and obviously, you know, I'm not accusing anybody of anything on any spectrum, but, you know, the lack in confidence in ourselves sometimes is what we project in our pride. If you know what I'm saying, and we don't analyze the situation as we should, I'm victim to that as well. Not only I'm not victim. I'm a active participant. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm woman enough to say that at that time I did lack confidence. Not I'm not there anymore, but I did lack the confidence to know that what I was doing was what the people wanted to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure of myself, and that's probably why they cut my show, you know. But I was so pissed off, I went and took it out on him when I could have just chilled out and talked to him later on. And, you know, you never know. That could have been my crossroad, you know, where I was stepping over and I missed out. You never know. You never know. I never know. But I'm here now, and I ain't going to make that mistake ever again, you know.
Well, not only that, but we here now. And
right.
I have to tell you, it's been an absolute pleasure and honor to have you on my airwaves. And I really look forward to chopping up with you again. I want to be, you know, and definitely hit up Todd, because I want to be, you know, somewhat in the circulation of everything you're doing. Obviously, you always have a home here on Die For Radio, but, you know, musically and everything, let's collaborate. Let's do what we'd ever got to do. You know, I mean,
I need that right now. So, you know, if you out here in the valley, I'm out here in the valley. Let's meet up. I'm a trainer also, so I do lots of hikes and runs and all that stuff. So, you know, let's connect. I'm down for that. I'm open to, you know, I have an open time to get new friends, and I'm willing to do that. You know, and I have a lot of music stuff that I need help with. You know, I need teammates too. You know, it's not just about me making it. It's a full-on movement of positivity, and you definitely have positive energy, and I'm thankful for you having me on the show tonight.
Absolutely. And, that's going to be definite. Me, you, and Todd are going to talk with the next day or two. I'm going to set some stuff up. But we'll worry about that off the air, because that's a definite. Until then, real quick, anything that, you know, your last words, anything I forgot to say, again, the floor is yours right now. Real talk.
I just want to give honor to God first. And I want to just say thank you to Pretty Ill, my label, who I didn't really get to speak of that much today. But thank you to them for just believing in the dream and seeing it, seeing the vision. And thank you to XL and the system and my family and my friends, my kids, everybody that supports me, and Todd, my newfound friend, and Smooth for hooking me up with him. And I'm just I'm overjoyed. I really don't have much to say, because I will be here all night talking. You know, I'm just thankful, and I'm glad that, you know, the right energy is being pulled towards me. You know, and hopefully you guys will go out and buy Anatomy on iTunes, Google, everywhere music is played or bought. We will be having those on the streets too, with the skew on them. You know, get them numbers. Just thank you. Thank you again, man, for having me tonight.
Not a problem. If I could ask you for a favor real quick, though, could I get a Die For Radio drop from you?
Yes, of course.
I could do it right now, because I got Pro Tools and everything, so, your name, just a good, cool, you know, little drop. I'm going to chop it up and make it sound lovely, and it gets broadcast on Die For Radio. What could be better?
All right, here we go. All you rebels out there, holla, Die For Radio. You're living here and loving it with Oracle Jane Doe on Die For Radio. Thank you so much, man.
No problem. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We definitely going to be in contact, so don't even trip on that. We're going to be talking very, very soon.
Yes, sir. I'm right here waiting for you. I'm waiting. Don't Hollywood me, man. All right?
Real, no. Real talk. We're going to be talking. I'll be talking to Todd after the show, and we'll just set it up from there, so it's all good.
Okay. Thank you so much, man. I'm eager to meet you. I can't wait.
Absolutely. So we'll be getting some shit done soon. It is the hip hop in the house. Oracle J,
right.
Dope, shout out, man. I can't wait. That's what's up. I mean, hip hop at its best here on Die For Radio. I have a blast. I literally sit here and have a blast on these airways, and people like Oracle and you know, speech, obviously, and everybody we'd have on the show. I mean, there's so much substance that people talk about. I mean, and you know, I hate to repeat myself
to some of the you know, guests that we have here, but it's like the personality, they're from an era where the personalities are so different, and that's what made them successful, that I want to hear the difference of what these people say, because they all, not only do they all know each other, they all know what each other have been through, and the music game is real grueling. I mean, it doesn't matter what level you're at. If you're making money off of music like a 9-to-5 where you're really, you know, doing shows, whether it's locally or whatever it might be, you're really grinding it out. It's not an easy business, even at a, you know, $20,000 a year, $25,000 a year level. I mean, if you're making 25 grand a year on your own music, I mean, that's, you know, divide that by 12. I mean, you're hustling something out of nothing. Your thoughts that you put on a pen and a pad is making $25,000 a year. That's a huge accomplishment. So I think also, too, people got to understand that. You know, I say $25,000, that's a big number. You know, I mean, if you make any type of money off of music, go do it. And the guests we have today can just show you that. I mean, exactly. They've been through everything to be successful, learned their lessons, did whatever they had to do, and still have the love for it. So there's a huge thing about the type of music you do, and we always talk about that again. But Die For Radio, come on, man. This is just the way it goes down. September 1st, y'all, look out for Die For Magazine. You know what I'm saying? There's so many people in this magazine for the premiere issue. I'm so excited for everything that's happening. And to me, it's just a dream come true. Big shout out to my dude, Todd Davis. You know what I'm saying? We're working hard on this premiere issue. I mean, we got exclusive PMDs on the cover. We got Cormega, Raekwon, Tretch, Pharoah Monch, Evidence, DJ Lord Jazz, Lords of the Underground, Immortal Technique, Souls of Mischief, Zion I. You know what I'm saying? We got Sick Jackin, I mean, Easy Mo B, DJ Scratch. We got the graffiti page, y'all. Graffiti from around the world. You should see some of these pieces I got sent, people. It's so dope. We also got an exclusive interviews with Michael Malden, Sony, you know what I'm saying, and JD, and actually some quotes from the Brad as well about the keys to proper artist development, you know, and just everything that really just makes sense for this game. So I can't wait to drop it. I mean, I really can't. And I just have to tell you, you know, I'm excited about everything that Die For is doing. Big shout out, you know, to Speech from Arrested Development. Big shout out to, you know, Oracle Jane Doe for just rocking us with the knowledge and just her personality and her music. It's just a beautiful thing, like I said, in these times. But Thursday, Die For Radio, you know we're going to do it again. And I just appreciate all the listeners, everybody that just always tunes in. I'm going to play a little bit of music. We in overtime right now, so I'm going to go in, you know, I'm going to dip in the crates a little bit. Right now I'm going to play some Cormega, Mars, AZ, Redman, Styles P. This is the way we do it. Die For Radio.
So I walked through the valley of death. I never got lost or took cowardly steps. I moved honorably, gained a lot of respect. Saw poverty but wouldn't trade God's success. In fact, maybe I'm too advanced for crack babies. My impact is similar to Basquiat paintings. Visually fascinated, reality rap, not the fabricated. We'll have you anxious to sell weight, but fend the patient like architects building cases. The foundation is information. I give it, my lyrics ain't easily assimilated. My pen is crazy. I went from living on the edge to the realm of greatness. Was willed into existence. This is continuation of skill revealed in music. We originated in places full of nap-tier, melanated descendants of slaves who found ways to elevate it.
Grey's anatomy, amazed with duality. I inhaled and propelled through polarities. Rap reality, trapper, actor, athlete. Choose carefully, use vernacular accurately. None after me, number four is factually. I'm the core, conquistador, the faculty. Bastard seed, black fatigue. Prestigious, since elites from the Masters League. Massive weed, placed on a mantle with the Jack Daniels. Ruger strapped with the wooden shellac handle. Tap
got the sample, approved, cop and bounce. Never announced financial, loser stopped the count. Lost but found, was both in the same breath. The source for main fresh, every dose came correct. The game was spec, hoodie on for the gone. So fuck the fake cop that shot little Trayvon.
I rap my city hard, I live for it. I'm like a shotgun blast when I'm recording. I bring down the house like Steve Martin. You can smell weed when your boy pre-boarding. Call me Delta, you can earn air miles. Tracks like dirty laundry, I air it out. Red man like a movie, I'm paramount. That's why they imitating me, like Red Al. Boy, in the club I get butted. Yellow House General, nigga don't butt in. Circle around the block, tell them I'm coming. It's no VIP, I'm in life drumming. But I kick back and roll perp up. And write an ill flow when the surf's up. I stay grinding when the surf's up. Hip hop my bitch, watch how I work hard.
Short nights make the days longer. Your problems will start to weigh on you. Gotta pray when they pray on you. Feel kinda funny when the 4 pound stays on you. You think it's much better to hustle for European luxury, American muscle. It's bricks or bread and a duffel or two long guns. Beware the letter to touch you. Thinking is it better to crush you or just walk away? Looking at your neck, put the hawk away. The pain to remain, the rain to wash the shark away. My problems way well orc away. Swimming in the waters with the great white. On the highway, but you don't see my brake light. 7 days in a week, I'm on the 8th night. On the dark side, but I ain't bring a safe light.
Yo, this is the Mecha Don CEO Smooth, and you're on Die For a Radio, baby. Holla at me.
What's up, y'all? This is the R-A-S, K-A-S-S, saying that from the West, taking it to your fucking chest like breath, and you are now tuned into Die For a Radio. You know what it is. Right now, this is A-Plus from the Mighty Hieroglyphics, the Soulja Mischief crew, from now till infinity. We on Die For a Radio. Check it out. Anytime you can speak your mind and hear some hip-hop from a head that's really going to tell you how it is. A-Plus in the house, 93 till infinity, Doc 4 Radio. Much love.
This is your boy, Pimp Type, MJ, MJG, you hear me? Doc 4 Radio.
Check it out, y'all. It's your boy, Payne, putting it down for the world-famous M.O.P. One time.
Mic check one, two. Check this out, man. Recognize the voice, this is them boys. Tech and Steel, Smith and Wesson. You're listening to the number one station, Die For Radio.
Check it, this is your man, the original Dirty Rhymes Counter, J with the Damager, and you rocking right now, Die For Radio. You know what it is.
Man has an announcement. I'm your daddy. I seen the shit that you've been doing and I'm not happy. I've been watching the game close like a caddy. Let me show you how to swing this iron. Ready, aim, fire. Pro gorilla, I've been triller, your head spinning. Low tugging, we've been winning from the beginning. There's no mistaking the place and this shit is permanent. Go against it, you want them needing the term to kid it. I put my heart into every word that I ever spit it. So far ahead of my time, I had to give them a minute. Had a lot of daughters in hotel rooms sinning. 20th tour in the world and we still killing. Bandana all around my head, one around my wrist. Get on stage, scratch another crew apart the list. They will not remember you, but I'm going to be missed. Low tug is hip hop, you are not this.
Now
Yeah, yeah. What up, y'all? This is your boy, Razzcast.
And this is Mr. Long.
But together we are the White Crows. And you are now rocking with Die For Radio.
Shout out to Dyer Lansky.
Yeah, no. Pop your collars.
To you adolescent, like when that real hip-hop shit had a presence. Well, this is it, with the raw uncut, bringing the ball back up, keeping you all starstruck, taking the hide and fuck. I got a beef with whack rappers cause they tank the game. Shit is all convoluted, it just ain't the same. I got a beef with dope rappers cause they just complain that they can't maintain, so they have to refrain. Mr. Long is unprecedented, the way I represent it. I call it like I see it and I say it like I meant it.
You fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you perpetrators kick, you imitators kick, and all you hate is kick rock, rock. You fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you perpetrators kick, you imitators kick, and all you hate is kick rock, rock.
Scram, beat it, kick rocks and chase them. See, I don't captain save a hoe, I replace them. And I don't hang with no bitch niggas, I erase them. About face them, the transporter, Jason Statham. Snatch them off the stage like Juggalo shows. A group of Negroes becomes a murder of crows. Plus I murder the pros. Pink game is epic, gimmicky rappers, adios, see the exit. Cause you the type of weirdo buying hookers off of Craigslist. We be on a dynamic duo, the meth and red shit. Blackout, air whack out, that's why I'm hotter than a crack house. Hip-hop is my journey. Rap nowadays is corny. 99% of these famous niggas bore me. I hope major labels disappear, cause I don't like a lot of what I gotta hear.
You fake bitches kick, you fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you perpetrators kick, you imitators kick, and all you hate is kick rock, rock. You fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you perpetrators kick, you imitators kick, and all you hate is kick rock, rock.
Yo, check it out, this is Lord Jamar, Brand Nubian, Known Associates is in effect right now. You're checking out Die For Radio with my man Dyer Lansky. That's how we do it. Peace to the gods and earths. One. I'ma slip this in. I'ma say, hey, yo, respect the architect as I begin to build, as I begin to fill your mind, as I begin to drill. Disrespect and that'll be a mess like an oil spill in the Gulf. Fuck Yellow Wolf, Catfish Billy. Fuck with me and get slapped silly, or get clapped with the Mac Millie. Facsimile, you should play the back timidly. Fuck an idiot with Confederate imagery. That ain't hip-hop. This ain't hip-hop. Fuck around and get popped in your lips, Hobson. You need to stop with the shit, Hobson, or we plotting to hit. Yo, they trying to say a nigga stuck in the past because I won't co-sign getting fucked in the ass. Mad at me for my comments on Vlad TV. I'm being honest, but it's sad to see all these keyboard crips and these broadband bloods want to fight for their right to take dick in the butt. And the nerve to try to call me a stick in the mud. I heard you like to put your stick in the mud. I'm in the grow room picking the butt. This rap game, yo, we ripping it up. For me and Lance, we ain't fucking with these pansies.
Oh my
nigga,
God.
Understand me?
Fuego.
One.
Yo, turn the beat up a little. I'ma stand back for the mic a little bit. Yo, life for me's a flashback. When I think back to the past that enabled me to still do what I do with the drop of a hat. Dead or in jail if it wasn't for rap. Over federal cell, growing up a young black male. My decisions were my own. I'm blessed and I get fed from a silver spoon. It might have spoiled my goals. My
control. Could have easily adapted to trends, chasing them ends, which is today's cardinal sin, start of the end. Outnumbered two jewels guarding me praise, and solidify my spot as a force to be reckoned. Now diehards checking for me, showing me love when I'm out and about. Cars pass shouting me out. Things get to clicking with vinyl with CD. Start moving, change is looming, time consuming, huh? With a slight edge of popularity comes with a taste of power that can fuck up your head. Moved on to my third LP, Mon Appetit was a miss. Failure, that was the talk in the streets. I took it as a slap in the face. Overnight love turned to hate, put me in a whole other space. Always been an anti-nigga, instead of standing on the sidelines bitter, I made Star Challenge smoking mirrors. Now look at the games, the same bunch of widows. Without saying names of weak, you accept that you're hero. Take away the music, listen to my acapellas. My shit is art with textures, depth and colors in it. Love and pain combined with real feelings. Highs and lows so vivid it'll touch your spirit. When it's my time from this world to move on, an angelic voice will be heard singing this very song.